WTSQ 88.1 FM, the status quo.
We're joined today by Ken Ward Jr., the founding editor-in-chief and president of Mountain State Spotlight. Welcome to WTSQ, Ken.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you with us today. Can you tell us a little about yourself and your journey to becoming the founding editor-in-chief and president of Mountain State Spotlight?
Sure. I'm from Mineral County, West Virginia. Grew up in Piedmont and Kaiser. Went to Potomac State College and graduated from West Virginia University's what was then called a journalism school. And after that, I spent 28 years at the Charleston Gazette as a reporter, mostly covering the environment and worker safety in the coal industry, the natural gas industry, the chemical industry. I always felt very privileged to get to do that very important work at that place, which was and is still an institution for our state. I spent 6 years doing West Virginia investigations with the nonprofit newsroom ProPublica and their local reporting network. And in 2020, I helped to found Mountain State Spotlight, and we just celebrated our 5th anniversary.
What is Mountain State Spotlight's mission, and what are some of the topics that you typically have covered over the last 5 years?
We have a very particular mission that is a little bit different than other journalism organizations in West Virginia and elsewhere. You think of journalism as, well, our job is to inform people. But we see our mission a little bit differently. Our job is to do accountability journalism aimed at helping West Virginians make our state a better place for all of us. Right now, we focus on covering topics such as public health, economic development, state government, the environment, trying to do more education stories. And what we're trying to do is not just go to a public meeting and regurgitate what happened at that meeting, but we're trying to look for stories about West Virginians who are affected by public policy and tell stories about how those public policies are impacting our communities, and also tell stories about what people in our communities say they need from their local government, their state government, the federal government, really aimed at building a movement of West Virginians who value independent information as a tool for making our state better.
I know independent journalism can be very challenging to be funded. We're independent ourselves here at WTSQ. How are you able to secure the resources for this publication?
We are a reader-funded newsroom, which means we rely on the West Virginians who believe in our mission to write us checks, to give us their credit card numbers, and provide $10 a month, $20 a month to help us serve that mission. We've been very fortunate in the early years of Mountain State Spotlight to get a lot of support from the national movement that's aimed at rescuing local news. Significant backing from places like the American Journalism Project, my friends at ProPublica, which funded some of my work here, a couple of other foundations. We've been very fortunate that we had some early support from Benedum and from the Greater Kanawha Valley Foundation, just our downstairs neighbor in our office, and we're very grateful for that. And again, we're trying to build a movement of people who believe that journalism as an institution and as a product that people need is something that the community itself needs to support, the same way that we all come together to support having an art center or a free medical clinic or a public library or a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter.
Can you tell me a little bit about the team that you have at Mountain State Spotlight? I know you cover a lot of different topics. I'm sure it takes a whole group of folks to be able to cover this type of information.
Right. We have about a dozen people now. Those include reporters, the people who, you know, where the work really starts, that are out there covering their beats and talking to people and at the legislature or traveling around the state. It includes editors. It includes an audience manager whose job it is to help us make sure we keep growing the number of readers we have and the support those readers give us. It includes business professionals whose job it is to raise money and make sure that we never have to say no to a story because we can't afford to do it. We have an operations manager who does all of the things that you would think that job entails. He makes sure everybody gets paid every 2 weeks. He makes sure that our rent gets paid and the lights work. And if somebody's computer is broken, he fixes it. Our team is a mix of people who like myself, are native West Virginians. We have several people who moved here to go to school. We have several people who moved here for these jobs. So Mountain State Spotlight is a job creator. We're helping to reverse the drain of population by bringing people here to do good journalism. It's a target-rich environment here for investigative reporting. So we've been very fortunate to have some really talented folks move here for this. We have a mix of people who are a little further along in their careers and a mix of people who are earlier career. And I think that that is another strength for us. And we've also worked very hard to have a more diverse newsroom. We think that's very important. And we've been very fortunate and very intentional about trying to make that happen. We have a good team.
Well, it sounds like a mentoring type relationship in many senses, where you have your experienced journalists and your folks that might be starting out their careers. You're really helping to cultivate that next generation of investigative reporters and independent journalism.
Yeah, I hope so. I certainly have been very fortunate through my life. The most important mentor for me in journalism was my friend Paul Nyden, who unfortunately is no longer with us. But I think part of what those of us who are a little later in our careers that are working here feel is we had people like that who were important mentors and teachers for us. And now it's our time to give back just as people gave to us.
Well, I know a lot of our audience on WTSQ appreciates independent journalism and independent radio. If folks are not familiar with Mountain State Spotlight, how can they read and subscribe to the publication?
Our website, we're all digital. Our website is mountainstatespotlight.org, and they can visit that website, and all of our stories are published there. We also do several different kinds of periodic newsletters. We have a weekly newsletter that goes out on Monday. We have a newsletter you can sign up that you'll get an email every time we do a new story. If you go to our website, mountainstatespotlight.org, up in the upper right-hand corners, there's a big button there that says email sign up, and you can click on it and sign up for those emails. If you do that Monday morning by 8 a.m., you haven't received one, check your junk folder, make sure it didn't end up there, and whitelist us on your phone. Those are some of the ways that people can see our stories. They can also, when you go to our website, you'll see a big yellow button at the top that says donate. If you like what you see, click on that and help us continue to do this work. We also really think that West Virginians know what kinds of stories are needed in their communities. We have a spot on our website that says, help us investigate. And you can click there and you get an email address and a phone number where you can call or email us and give us your tips. Every tip we get, we respond to. Everybody gets an automated response, but one of our reporters responds. We don't do every story that people suggest, but we do respond personally to every tip we get. Steal our stories. One of the things that you can also do to see our stories is we offer all of our work for free to any journalism outlet in West Virginia to republish. And increasingly, a lot of them are doing that. Our friends at the Charleston Gazette-Mail have started publishing more and more of our stories, so you can see our work there. If you're someplace and your local publication isn't republishing our stories, you could call or email them and say, hey, have you seen Mountain State Spotlight? I'd love it if you republished our stories. We do that for free. There's no cost. You don't have to donate to us to get our newsletter. We think that every West Virginian needs news and information, whether they can afford it or not. And if you're someone who can't afford it, maybe donate a little bit more so one of your neighbors who can't, help us to keep providing it for free to them.
5 years is quite an impressive milestone for the publication. What do you have in store for the next 5 years or any of your future plans for it?
We wanted to take a big, deep breath at five and just congratulate ourselves for still being here. It's a difficult time for the news business, including for nonprofit news. There's a lot of questions about the economy that are make it difficult for people to support us. We are about done with writing a new strategic plan for what we hope the next 5 years will look like at Mountain State Spotlight. And we'll be sharing some more information about our plans once we get that process finished. But we want to be here in 5 years, and in 5 years after that, and 5 years after that. We're really trying to build the newsroom that West Virginians need for the future.
To wrap up today, the service you provide is so important to our democracy, to our state, and to all the population. From your perspective, why do you think independent journalism is so important?
That's a great question. I think that these are troubling times in our country and in our state. West Virginia has a lot of challenges, and One of those challenges is we all, whether it's on our computer or on our phone, we're all flooded with information, information overload. And sometimes the drip, drip, drip of all of that from government becomes difficult to follow and difficult to understand. And you lose the essence of the thread about why does this matter to me? What are the stakes in this particular thing that's happening? And I think the job of independent journalists like Mountain State Spotlight is to try to cut through all of that and tell people what they really need to know about what's happening. We don't have a corporate owner. We don't have stockholders. We are a nonprofit public interest organization that is ultimately accountable to our readers. And I think that that puts us in a unique position to be able to tell the truth and the whole truth as best as we're able to discover it and find it. And I think that's what the world needs right now. We all flooded with so much information, much of it not reliable, much of it from people with an axe to grind. And the only axe that Mountain State Spotlight has to grind is the interests of the West Virginians in making the state better for all of us.
And one more time, what was your web address that folks can check out?
MountainStateSpotlight.org.
Thank you so much for your time today, Ken. And most of all, for what you're doing at Mountain State Spotlight. It means so much to us as West Virginians, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate talking with you.
WTSQ 88.1 FM, the status quo.